Mark chapter 16 and verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. She went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared to another form, in another form, unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, tonight. Help us, Lord, to do as we ought to do, to teach the Bible, to be able to give our folks, Lord, some biblical mandates tonight, some very simple yet important, Lord, instruction, commands, the pattern of the book of Acts. Help us, Lord, as we look at these things. And I pray that we would be effective, Lord, in reaching to the very best of our ability, and of course, Lord, with your power and help, of reaching this community with the gospel. Lord, help us to do our duty in this regard, to not shirk our responsibilities. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. I'm afraid that the danger of familiar verses is that they will lose their impact on us if we're not careful. It's not because the verse lessens with repetition. It's just because we grow numb to the message. Amen? Is that sometimes accurate? And we have recorded here from verse 9 to verse 14 the resurrection of Christ and his post-resurrection appearances. And it seemed like it took him a while to get everybody convinced that he was alive, even his disciples. But by verse 15, that's been settled. And of course, we're given what we call the Great Commission. Jesus gave to us the Great Commission. I want you to look at it, and then we're going to look at some other portions of Scripture here in a minute. But I think that there's some key words here in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, that we can't afford to get used to. So I want to talk to you about, on this subject tonight, the importance of gospel saturation. Gospel saturation. I want you to think about that for a minute, because it's a very biblical concept. Go ye into, what's the next word? Okay, so that means, and by the way, you may have that entire verse underlined, but if you don't, I would underline that word, all. All the worlds. Jesus Christ expected us to go into all the world. And then he goes on to say this, and preach the gospel to, and what's the next word? Every. Now, when we talk about gospel saturation, what we're talking about is going to every place, to all nations, all of the world, and getting the gospel to every creature. Wow. Has Jesus mandated something that's physically impossible for us to do? Is this just some pie-in-the-sky dream that he had, that he wished, not realizing that we were mortals with mortal limitations? I don't think so. I think that everything I've ever read in the Bible that Jesus commanded us to do, he also provides us the means and power to do it. If it's not done, it's not his fault, it's our fault. Amen? And so this idea of gospel saturation is not an unbiblical concept. I think it's something that, for the most part, we've given up on. But I don't think, when I say we, I think Christians as a whole has almost given up on the concept of gospel saturation. What is that? That means the gospel taken to every nation, all the world, and preached to every creature. Now, we could apply this in of course, a whole many, many areas. And we could talk about Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the different areas of responsibility. But I want to preach to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, since y'all are the ones that's here tonight, amen? And I want us to be re-challenged in this idea, re-challenged in this, in the thinking of this, and together allow our hearts to be touched by Scripture and again pledge ourselves to something that we have traditionally done, we are still doing, but we want to make sure we continue to do, and maybe to do better and to get more involvement in it. All the world to every creature. All the world to every creature. We're talking about the concept of gospel saturation. You say, well, Brother Jerry, is this just in this one isolated verse? No, it's not. Let me give you several points tonight. First of all, number one, gospel saturation is a scriptural mandate. It's a scriptural mandate. Now, folks, what we've got to determine is we cannot control the world and we cannot dictate to every church in the United States. But we are responsible to God for what we do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I want to show you just quickly. Let me just take you on a little quick Bible drill. Let me have you go to Acts chapter 2. And I want to just kind of skip through the book of Acts and show you that the New Testament church, they believed in the concept of gospel saturation. They believed in it. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 5. Verse number 4. Acts chapter 2. And verse number 4 says this, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men," notice this, "out of every nation under heaven." Now, I know we've read that and we understand that and we're familiar with that. It sounds right because we've read this chapter a lot. But have you ever let that impact you? That's really quite astounding that on this particular day, God so orchestrated it so that every nation of the world was represented here at Jerusalem and given a chance to get the gospel all in one location. Now, this is the hand of God, folks. I mean, God chose this particular celebration of Pentecost to see that every nation of the world was represented. And this was the same celebration of Pentecost where 120 Christians were to come down in the midst of this out of the upper room and begin to both personally one-on-one and publicly by preaching proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And on top of that, God allowed every man to hear in his own language. Now that's really an amazing thing God did here to kick off this idea of gospel saturation, about reaching every nation and every creature of every nation. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Every nation. Now look at, if you will, at Acts chapter 2 and verse 8. And it says again here, "And how here we," now this is the group that was in Jerusalem that was represented there, "and how here we, every man in our tongue wherein we were born." Now, I don't have, and I'm not going to try to guess, I don't even know how to speculate how many people were in Jerusalem on this day of Pentecost. But let me tell you something, folks, it was busting at the seams. And yet this group of Christians managed to get the gospel to every man. To every man, and every nation was represented to that in that. Isn't that something? Look, if you will, in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 38. "And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you." And I'm kind of going, hitting this word on purpose. You know what? When they preached to everyone. When they reached out, they reached to every nation. Well, every man received the gospel. That interesting? Now, if you will, go to Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42. Let's strengthen this with Scripture. Let's become biblically convinced together, shall we? Notice this. Acts chapter 5, verse 32, as they continue to try to saturate Jerusalem and the roundabout areas with the gospel, it says, "And daily in the temple and in," there's that word again, "every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Now, unless I'm misunderstanding this word "every," I think it means what it means. They went to every house. Every house. All right, remember that because I'm going to bring that back to us in just a little while. Acts chapter 8, if you will. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 4. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 4. This is a very fascinating, interesting chapter. We see that, I believe, that persecution on purpose was allowed to the church, because I think once they saturated Jerusalem, I will just tell you that I believe things begin to cool down and people begin to get satisfied, and God brought, or at least allowed, persecution to come to the church. The chapter before that, we have the first martyr, Stephen, killed. In the first three verses, we see Saul making, or, you know, just wreaking havoc of the church. Incredible amount of persecution, which causes Christians then to have to, I mean, I'm talking about Christian families packing up their belongings in the middle of the night and stealing away to keep from being thrown into jail and to protect their families and their children. But what I admire about them is that as they scattered, they went, first of all, everywhere, and everywhere they went preaching the gospel. They went preaching the word. And so, see, even though God had to shake them out of their comfort zone and get them into areas they hadn't got to yet, when they were going to these areas, they did everywhere preaching, everywhere soul winning, everywhere they went, they covered that area with the word of God. Let me show you Acts chapter 20. I like this. Let's jump forward a few chapters. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 31. Very interesting what Paul writes here. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 31. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. Now that's an astounding statement. I think it took him 3 years. But here in Ephesus, during that 3 year period, Paul could say, when it was time for him to depart, I have shared with every one of you. Every one of you. Now that's really astounding. You think about that. Let that sink in a little bit. Acts chapter 21 and verse 27. Acts 21 and verse 27. And when the 7 days were almost ended, this is interesting. Now let's listen to the testimony of those that were offended at the gospel. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him, being Paul again, in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! Help!" I like that. "Men of Israel, help!" Well, let's get the whole city to take care of one missionary. Amen. We need help. Now, notice this. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. Now, of course, what's brought here is a false accusation, but isn't it interesting that they say this is the man that has taught all men everywhere? You know what Paul believed in? Gospel saturation. I mean, he believed that it was his personal responsibility, not his church, not his denomination, not some organization. He took it as his personal responsibility that when he landed in a city, he wanted to speak to all men everywhere. He wanted to be able, when he left there, to say, "I've talked to all of you. I've warned all of you. I've delivered the message to all of you." And I think that the mandate has not changed. I will tell you what has changed is that we have lost our passion. We've lost the passion that the early church had. I mean, folks, this wasn't some weekly, let's rid our conscience of some guilt and go for 30 minutes or 60 minutes so that we can say next time the preacher preaches on it, well, I'm involved in that. That's not what this is about. This is a group of Christians that I mean, this was their life. This is what they lived for. This is what they thought about. They couldn't get the words of Christ out from echoing out of their head. All the world, every creature, all the world, they really were, these poor dumb people were silly enough to think he really meant that. Well, maybe it's because he really meant that. And it became almost obsessive with them that they would hand deliver the gospel to every creature, that they would be able to preach the gospel to every creature. That they took that as a personal challenge, as their personal responsibility. Acts chapter 28, one more Acts chapter 28 and verse number 21. And again, we have Paul, and he arrives in Rome, and he asks an audience of the Jews, and it's interesting what they say. In verse 21, it says, "And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee." And here Paul thought that his arrival would be preceded with letters of warning about him. So he went to meet with them to try to give him his side. And they said, "We haven't got any letters." But notice this, verse 22. "But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that where? Everywhere it is spoken against." Now, let me just make a logical assumption here. If everywhere it's spoken against, then everywhere it's been preached. Doesn't mean you're going to win everybody by taking the gospel everywhere. Doesn't mean you're not going to create enemies by taking the gospel everywhere. It means that it's our responsibility to take the gospel everywhere. So what we're talking about here is gospel saturation. It is, folks, a scriptural mandate. Now, Brother Jerry, so that we all understand, what are you talking about, gospel saturation? I'm talking about a church. I'm talking about each of us individually getting a burden, the burden of the duty of our responsibility to make sure that the gospel is hand-delivered to every home, every house, every creature in that house has an opportunity to be exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That should not be some foreign concept or some outdated 1970s method when it used to work back in those days. I don't believe in any of that junk. I think that the same Bible that teaches it and shows it and illustrates it and the same Jesus Christ that mandated it still expects it. And so what I'm doing here is hitting some reset buttons in our thinking. Because, folks, if we're not doing this, we're not doing the very basics of what we've been created to do as a church. If we drop this and fail in this, then we're failing in the main purpose of the church. And so when I talk about gospel saturation, I'm talking about every home, the idea of every home being exposed to the gospel. Now let me give you the point number two. Number one, gospel saturation is a scriptural mandate. Number two, I'm going to present this, and then I think I'm going to convince you of it. House to house, or what we call door to door, house to house soul winning is the only way to ensure gospel saturation. House to house soul winning is the only way to ensure gospel saturation. Now, what do you mean that by that, Brother Jerry? Well, Brother Jerry, we've got other ministries, and we're more high-tech. By the way, with all of our high-tech abilities, how come we're not accomplishing what Paul accomplished with old-fashioned sandal leather? Say, well, we're saturating the area with the gospel. Let me talk to you about that. You say, how are we doing that? How do we get the gospel to every creature? Well, Brother Jerry, we have Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Well, in case you haven't noticed, not the entire community is not coming. So we can't say that just by having church, we're saturating this area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother Jerry, we have other ministries, outreach ministries. Good, that's good. We have VBS this week, Brother Jerry. I will tell you this, not all young people grades two or age 2 through 8th grade is attending, you know, in a 30-mile circle is attending our VBS. And can I say just a word of praise about that? Brother Jerry, that's wicked. That's carnal. I know. Forgive me. I'm sorry. If I had a little more time to know they were coming, I wouldn't mind, but I'm not sure. Now, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be a blessing? I mean, wouldn't it be neat if we had to go out and literally fill the hillside and fill the grass area over here and go ahead and use those unfinished rooms and just makeshift and just pack them? But you know what, folks? I looked around. We've had good crowds. Good night. First day we had 260-something. Next day 270-something. I don't know what it is on Wednesday. It seems like we always go down a little on Wednesday. We had 250-something. But I mean, praise God. I'm excited about it. But that does not fulfill gospel saturation. Praise God. It works together with other things we're doing. And young people, we've had a number of young people get saved. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't fulfill the concept here. It doesn't fulfill the Great Commission. You say, well, Brother Jerry, you're on the radio. Don't you present the gospel when you're on the radio? Yes, I do. I try to present the gospel regularly on the radio. But folks, a radio, and we got to watch this, because sometimes we start some high-tech ministries and we think, well, there we go. We've completed gospel saturation. Now, this is going to shock you. This is going to shock you. But right at the time where my radio broadcast was being played the other night, I went down here to the four-way stoplight, and I had to stop and wait for another vehicle. And that teenager that was in that other vehicle was not listening to my radio broadcast. Matter of fact, he was listening to something a whole lot different than my radio broadcast. And he had it turned up pretty loud, and it was making my windshield ping, ping, ping a little bit, you know. And I'm saying I'm glad for the radio ministry. And folks, all these things work together, and all these things are just another net to throw out there, another fishing pole. I mean, I think God uses it. But I'm saying none of these complete gospel saturation. Not a one of them. You see, we have a youth revival, Brother Jerry. I know, but not all the teens are going to come to that. That's not gospel saturation. Well, Brother Jerry, on Easter time, we release balloons. Yeah, we do. 300 of them. And then everybody that finds one and sends it back, we send a presentation of the gospel to them and a gift booklet that shares the gospel with them. And, well, Brother Jerry, we just need to do it more. Folks, we could release 300 balloons every evening for the next year. And I promise you, we will not complete gospel saturation. Amen. Does God use some of that? I'm convinced he does. And there's people that I think God orchestrates to find some of those things, and only heaven will reveal whether or not those things and the material we sent either brought them to Christ or planted or watered a seed that eventually brought them. I'm all glad for all. I'm just saying, folks, listen to me. We can start all the things we want to start, and I'm for all of them. But they do not complete the mandate of every creature of all the world, and it doesn't, and we don't fulfill the mandate of every house. We can't do it in these ministries. As much as I'm all for them, it's not going to do it. There is no substitute for scheduled, organized, house to house, one street at a time, one neighborhood at a time, one township at a time, a human being, a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, walking up to that front step and knocking on that door and hand-delivering the gospel to that home. You say, Brother Jerry, do we always get to talk to everyone? We certainly don't. I would love to get to the point where maybe we would have enough soul winners going where we could keep track of all of the homes and make sure we got back until we actually had a face-to-face. But can I say this, with the ones that are coming out right now, I'm just really, with the number we have, pleased to be able to at least deliver the gospel to every door. I believe that is a big step. I think it's a huge accomplishment. I think it's a wonderful thing. And it makes me sleep better at night. And when I stand before the judgment seat, I'm certainly not going to stand there anticipating that God pats me on the head and says, boy, you did everything you could to reach everybody you could have reached. But I do not want to stand there with empty-handed and having lived a life of total neglect and ignoring what Jesus Christ commissioned us to do when before he ascended into heaven. And so that's a minimum. That's a minimum, folks. Just let's at least deliver the gospel to every house. We won't get to talk to every creature face-to-face, every person in that house, but at least that home is exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I do think, folks, that there is a point and place and time where the Holy Spirit takes over and he can orchestrate things. But if we don't at least get the gospel there, then what does he have to work with? How shall they hear except how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear except they be sent? I'm messing that up now. But how shall they hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear if it's not delivered to them? And so whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But folks, they got to hear it before they're going to call upon the name of the Lord. So gospel saturation is scriptural. House-to-house soul winning is the only way to ensure gospel saturation. Now, I love the idea. There's not a neighborhood, and there's not a country road or a lane that I can drive by or through in this circle of influence that we've at least attempted to try to influence, and know that at some point within a short amount of time in the past, the gospel's been delivered there. Now, folks, let me say this. We could reach them more often, and we could reach them more efficiently, and we could reach a bigger circle if we had more involvement. If we had more involvement. If I could somehow convince all of you that this isn't just a job for a handful, but this is a mandate for every Christian, and we would just decide that we're going to look at our sacred cow schedules and just decide that we're going to infringe upon a few hours of our life a week. I promised myself I was going to be nice. Now I read, I talked to myself out there. But it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating when you have a Paul passion. It's very frustrating when I look at folks, and I'm honest with you, folks, I don't understand some of you. I just don't. I don't want to understand you. I mean it. I don't want to be able to figure out how some Christians can just decide that that none of these things that I'm showing you touches them or applies to them or matters to them. That the only emotion I can get out of some of you when I preach on these things is anger because I'm bringing it up. That bothers me as a preacher of the gospel. That bothers me as a man who has driven down many of these streets and townships with tears in my eyes saying, God, how can we do better? We're not reaching them. There's too many people not being reached in this community. There's too many teenagers that hit 13, and between 13 and 18, we don't touch them one time, and somewhere along there they get off track and get messed up. And why didn't we get them? Why didn't we at least deliver it to them? Why didn't we at least touch them somehow with the gospel? And so it's a passion, and it ought to become a passion, and a duty, an obligation to us, that we are to be involved in this and that we are to help fulfill the Great Commission. Gospel saturation, number one, is a scriptural mandate. House-to-house soul winning is the only way to ensure gospel saturation. Now, we want all these other ministries and praise God for them, and they're effective and God blesses them, but they are never to be a substitute for house-to-house soul winning, house-to-house visitation. They're not to be a substitute for that. Number three, it is imperative. It is imperative that we at Blessed Hope continue and expand our house-to-house soul-winning efforts. It's imperative that we at Blessed Hope continue and expand our house-to-house soul-winning ministries and efforts. Now, I just want to hit that, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. I guess that's mostly an announcement that your pastor is not going soft on this. That your pastor is fully behind this idea, fully convinced of this. I'm going to do everything I can to inspire you and instruct you and pray for you and motivate you to be involved in this and to take this as a personal challenge, a personal obligation, and to get involved in it. Now, listen, if you don't, you don't. And, I'm not going to make it a test of fellowship. I'm not going to be unkind to you, mean to you. I'm not going to call you names, but I am telling you that when you're going to stand before God one of these days. And we're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And when we look into the eyes of the one whose last words before he ascended to heaven was go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, I don't think we're going to be able to find any excuses that we use right now. Not a one of them is going to hold water at that moment. And so, it's very important that we stay focused here on this effort to try to get the gospel to every creature. Now, let me give you another step. Combined, number four, combined efforts. Combined effort, let me say that. Combined effort produces amazing results. Combined effort produces amazing results. That's why we have traditionally had soul-winning programs. Because it's just amazing how combined efforts produce really some amazing results when it comes to soul winning. What does that mean, Brother Jerry? That means that a group of people can always accomplish in a shorter amount of time more than an individual. And I think along with that comes encouragement, it comes excitement. There's just something about going out with a group. And sometimes we meet as a group, we go two by two. Sometimes when it comes to the soul winning program, our teen soul winning, we a lot of times go en masse into a neighborhood and still two by twos, but more of a concentrated effort. But it is just amazing. Let me just give you a quick statistic. We've got, let's say we have, and I think this is probably a pretty fair number, let's say we have about 30 teens that come out on Wednesday, and Brother Reiser loads them on a bus and takes them to a neighborhood. Now think about this. 30 teens are going to jump off that bus, and let's say that every one of them just knocks on 10 doors. And I think that's very, very probably a low ball figure, okay? But every one of them, if we said every teen knocked on 10 doors, do you realize that in the hour or hour and 15 minutes or hour and a half that they're out there, they would have delivered the gospel to 300 doors? And that's what's amazing and encouraging about getting groups to go together. That's why we have soul winning programs. That's why one of the reasons is we can accomplish a lot more as a group sometimes than we can individually. And I think sometimes we're more inspired, where we feel more of a sense of accountability. I mean, that's true, isn't it? We feel more of a sense of accountability. You know, hey, I've committed to go to soul winning into this program. I've joined this program. I'm going to go faithfully with these people. And there's a sense of accountability there. And encouragement, exhortation, one with the other. There's nothing wrong with these things. That's all of those are scriptural concepts. And so it's amazing how combined efforts can produce amazing results. But let me say this. Consistent individual effort also produces some amazing results.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Consistent individual effort also produces some amazing results. What I mean that is, you know what? You don't have to go with 30 people. Two people can go together and still accomplish a lot. If you just individually decided that you're going to impact, you're going to be a part of this, you're going to see to it that some of the doors within the circle that we've designated are hit and hit in a timely fashion, it's amazing what your one individual's decision can produce. Let me just throw something out as an idea, and some of you may disagree with this, but let me just throw this out to you. Let's say that there's a man here and you work. Say, Brother Jerry, I get up early, I come home pretty late, and I work some long hours. But I'll tell you what, you're exactly right. I mean, I drive by hundreds of houses between work and home, and the honest truth is, if I took an area over near where I lived and just decided I was going to take that township and I was going to do it, do you realize that if you just said this, if you said, you know what, on the way home from work 5 days a week, if you only work 5 days a week, on the way home, I'm going to stop on the way home, or if you're a second shifter on the way to work, and I'm just going to systematically, I'm going to knock on two doors every single day. I'm just going to stop and hit two doors and mark it on the map, and I'm going to keep track of where I went, two doors, and I'm going to do it every night, either on the way or back from, say, Brother Jerry, but I don't have my tie and my suit and all of those things. Can I share this with you? Average working guys can reach average working guys. Now, I'm going to say that if you come to a church soul winning program, we've got lectures on this and teaching on this, and I think you ought to dress up and clean up and you're representing. But you know what? Folks, we're in Greene County, Indiana. I mean, I think most of the men in this area, if you stop in and knock on the door and say, listen, you know, I want to apologize for my appearance. I work in such and such. But listen, I just live a couple roads over, and every evening I've made a decision. I'm going to stop and talk to two people in this general area. And listen, I just want to give you a packet about my church. And listen, there's just a bunch of average hardworking guys over there and ladies, and it's a wonderful church family. And by the way, do you go to church anywhere? And by the way, do you know Jesus as your Savior? And my name's so-and-so, and my wife's name's so-and-so. We don't live that far from you, and we'd love to have you come be our guest. Sit with us in church. Folks, you know what? It may not sound, but I'm going to tell you, do you know if you did that two doors a night on the way and on the way back, do you know that you would cover 520 homes? You know, if you did three doors, you'd do 780 homes in a year. You know, if you did five doors, you'd do over 1,300 homes in a year. You know, if it was a passion, you'd do it. What I'm saying is, folks, listen to me. I couldn't start enough soul winning programs around here to fit everybody's schedule. And if I did, let me tell you what would happen. I'd have 10 of them to show up to instead of a couple, and I'd still be there with just a handful of the same people. Because if the heart doesn't change, you can't start enough soul winning programs to accommodate people, because you're always going to find a reason why that doesn't work for you. But I think what we need to do is look in our hearts and say, God, help me to get this passion, this burden that our pastor's talking about. Help me to drive by these houses instead of just being worried about, man, I can't wait till I get to the gas station so I can get a cup of coffee on the way to work, to look at these homes and look at those children playing in front of those homes and wonder what's going on in those homes and how many of them saved and how many of those couples are going to, listen, 50% of those homes are going to end up in divorce. There's drugs in a lot of those homes. There's a lot of teenagers at risk in those homes. And you know what? We can say everything we want to say, but if somebody doesn't stop and talk to them and deliver the gospel to them, then we're failing. We are failing, we're failing, we're failing, we're failing, we're failing. By the way, don't a one of you come to me again. I'm going to start calling you on this. Say, Brother Jerry, I'll tell you what, we just need more families in the church. That's our problem. We need more families. Don't you dare say that to me if you aren't out knocking on doors. Don't you dare criticize this church if you're not involved. You're talking to the wrong guy. I'm out there. Are you? I'm tired of the armchair quarterbacks. Tired of it. Let's fulfill what we're supposed to fulfill. Let's do our duty and see if God doesn't bless it. Let's do what we've been told to do and see if God doesn't bless it. Are you getting this making sense to you? And so although combined effort produces amazing results, consistent individual efforts or the efforts of a few individuals. I mean, Paul said, listen, I showed up here 3 years ago and I'm here to tell you, I talked to all of you. I'd like to get some of you to the point where instead of going back there and looking at that map and saying, oh, I can't believe he wants us to take a whole township, I'd like to see some of you say, I'm not going to rest till I've seen every door myself. What are you doing, Brother Jerry? I'm trying to raise your vision. I'm trying to increase your vision. Where there's no vision, the people are perishing. The people are perishing. Folks, this isn't good enough. Brother Jerry, look around. It's a Wednesday night at Blessed Hope. We're all worn out from VBS, and look who still showed up. Amen. Good. But we have seen but the tip of the iceberg. That's the honest truth. There's so much more. So much more. And so I want the Lord to speak to you tonight. Combined effort produces amazing results, but consistent individual effort or the efforts of a few individuals. Let me tell you something. That does some pretty neat things too. Let me give you the last point. And I want to just talk to you a little bit about what we're doing here. But nothing, let me give you this. All of the other ministries we have, nothing replaces the personal contact. What I call the personal touch. Brother Casper got up here. Brother Klein got up here when they were giving testimonies and talked about the power of you looking in somebody else's eyes and them looking in your eyes. And folks, that is huge. When we went to Washington, D.C., and I'll do this on all visitation opportunities, but I never wear sunglasses when I'm talking to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Never, never, never. You know why? Because they need to see your eyes. And there's just something about a personal handshake. There's just something about somebody looking you in the eye. There's something about one human being pleading with another and sharing with another the testimony of Jesus Christ and what has done in their life, that all of the radio broadcasts and all of the written tracts, and I'm for all of them, you know I am, and all of the programs and all of the preaching to the masses, it will never do what one individual walking up to another individual. And God is our creator. God knows how we're made. He knows how we're wired. And that's why he said, you must go to them. You must go individually. You must go to every man, every creature. You must go house to house. You go look them in the eye and you share the testimony of Jesus Christ and how he's changed your life and how he wants to save them. So I'm giving you this information tonight because I want you to contemplate it. I want you to contemplate it. I'll be honest with you. I don't care if there's not a person at this altar tonight. And I was almost tempted not to give an invitation because that is not what this is about. This is about all of us going home and contemplating and meditating and doing some real communicating with God about this matter of, Lord, Can I get involved in this? Lord, will you give me the strength? Will you give me the power? Lord, will you help me to overcome my limitations, my fears? Will you help me to plug in somewhere at my church to go out and fulfill our God-given responsibility? Now, folks, we're going to present something Sunday. I'll just go ahead and tell you in the bulletin. The reason I don't want to present tonight. I've still got to look at a couple things, but the building program, I'm excited about it. And aren't we making wonderful progress? God's been so good to us. Give us the strength and help that we've had and the resources. But even with the program going on, I don't want us to use that as an excuse to shirk our responsibilities for delivering the gospel to the community. That's why when we presented the theme for the year at our New Year's Eve, Let Us Rise Up and Build, I stressed that that was not just about building a building in 2007. It was about building every ministry and every aspect of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And why are we preaching on the book of Nehemiah? Well, I think most of you are mature enough. You've been down the road enough. You know why your preacher's doing these things. Okay, I don't think I'm pulling the wool over anybody's eyes. I'm doing it because it's a book that challenges us to build in a year of building, to build all aspects of our church. Now, listen to me, and I'll finish up here. Just give me a couple more minutes here. We are going to set, and we're going to have it printed up in the bulletin this week, but we're going to set specific times where we build, where we're going to be out here building. We're going to have a couple evenings set aside where you can show up to a building program. We're going to have a couple mornings set aside. We're going to have part of a Saturday set aside where there's opportunities for you to come help build. Now, let me just say this. All of those opportunities that we're going to list, I don't think probably a one of you ought to come to all of them. That's not the idea. What it does do is it gives you scheduled times where somebody who knows what they're doing is going to be out there so that if you show up, your time won't be wasted and we can be productive. But at the same time, let me say this. I'm very excited about this idea and this concept. We, while we're doing that, want to make sure that in 2007, that's not the year that we dropped the ball and didn't complete gospel saturation of this area. And I'm concerned about that because I think we're falling behind on it. Now, folks, listen to me. This is a busy time. It's a busy schedule. I have a busy schedule. Other people that are involved in this building program, I mean, folks, don't even ask me about my home. Don't even ask me about the list of repairs. Don't even ask me how high the grass is in my yard. Now we just, you know, we cut the grass. We meaning me and Tabitha without me being there. And the girls are pitching in and they're doing extra. And there are going to be times when I got to break off and catch up with some things or the place is going to fall down. But can I tell you something? We're sacrificing, and this year's not about us. It's about getting that building up, and it's about making sure we keep everything going while we're getting the building up. When we get it done, we'll catch up in some areas. Amen? And you say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, you need to change your thinking. Sometimes there's just some reasons that it's healthy to be out of balance. It'd be nice for you to get out of your comfort zone every once in a while and just go above and beyond and roll up your sleeve and really get involved in completing something that's miraculous. It would do you so much good. And to figure out that it takes personal sacrifice to do that. You know, you can't do everything you want to do. You can't go play everything you want to play. You can't be involved in every hobby you want to be involved with and still get extra done for the Lord Jesus Christ during these types of stretches. It just requires sacrifice, okay? I asked Brother Derek to help me with this, and I talked about this earlier, so this isn't new to you. We presented and floated the idea in February, but I've asked Brother Derek to help me to complete these, and he, along with his wife's assistants, I think I see her touch in some of this, along with her assistants, did a great job of taking each of the townships that we have in our circle and each of the partial townships, and he has constructed a notebook that covers that particular township. Let me show you these because they're really very neat. And what I'm going to ask you to do is consider becoming personally responsible, or as a family, taking on the responsibility, or a couple families together, or a couple men together, a couple ladies, I don't care how you do it. But asking God to guide you and lead you, and taking on one of these townships is your personal responsibility to see that it gets done in 2007. I don't have a lot of these. I'd like to think that there's people mad because they didn't get one, instead of wondering why some of them are still here. But what this is Greene County, and you see they're color-coded according to the counties. And this is Greene County, and it's Wright Township. Wright Township is right where we're at right here. Okay, this is our church sits in Wright Township. What's really nice about this, and I'll explain this, but it's got a little, in the front, it's got a little dry eraser marker and an ink pen. And what he's done is he's taken the maps that we have developed for our group soul winning purposes, and he's taken those and he has, what do you call this? Laminated them. Thank you. Laminated them. And the entire township is broke down into four quadrants. This is Wright Township Northwest. This is the northeast section of it. This is the southwest section of it and the southeast section of it. And these are laminated so that you can take the dry eraser and you can literally highlight the roads that you've done and where you've completed. You can keep track of it till you finish a quadrant and then you can move on. Now, I promise you this. You say, oh, Brother Jerry, that's a whole township. That's all of Wright Township. If you break it down in a map like this, because I know this, we've done it for years here, and you get a handful of people working on it, it does not take that long to get through all of the houses in a township. It doesn't take all that long to do it. But you have to do it consistently. You have to stay after it. And I'm going to encourage you. I'd like to see our map covered this year in a little bit different way than we've done in the past. We are taking extra time. It does limit our time to have soul winning opportunities as far as groups going together. By the way, we still have our Wednesday teen soul winning. We're going to do that all through the summer and all through the fall. And if it wasn't for that group there, we would not get the major cities and towns in our area covered. They do all of the high populated areas. What these maps are, if you have Linton in your map, for instance, this is Jasonville right here in this corner. You don't have to get all of Jasonville because the teens do that. You just have to get the highways and the byways, amen? Just the rural roads and lanes and systematically go through them. Now, what we're going to do here is make this opportunity available to you. We've already, before we stopped having Saturday morning adult soul winning, we already in 07 completed two of these townships completely before we stopped having it and switched to work days on Saturday morning. So two of the townships are already finished. In fact, I can tell you what they are, I think. Sullivan County. What is the township that Hamilton Township? And Harrison Township in Clay County. Is it Clay County? It's got Harrison? Mm-hmm. Is that right? Clay County. Thank you. Stay out of my preaching. What are you doing? She's trying to help a blind old man. That's what she's doing. But look at that. Those are done. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? The gospel delivered to every home in these townships. Already completed in 2000. Isn't that exciting? The ladies' visitation, Tuesday visitation. By the way, they're doing a dual effort there. I've asked Cheryl to oversee this. They are trying to stay up and doing a great job of it, by the way, of trying to stay up on some of our elderly people and couples and some of our shut-ins and our nursing home people. And that has fallen through the cracks around here. So I'm taking soul winners and involving them in that. By the way, y'all ought to think about that a little bit. Those of you that are really responsible, I'll think about that a little bit. But I'm taking soul winners and some soul winning time to do that because they're not going to be neglected at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay? But they're also tackling, is it Stockton? Stockton Township. And they're going to take care of that, the ladies' soul winning. By the way, you say, Brother Jerry, I don't know enough to go out and take one of these on my own. That's why group efforts are nice. Because you could show up on Tuesday morning and you could go with ladies who are experienced, or you could swap back and forth every 2 or 3 weeks, stay and watch the kids so some of them could go, and you could be involved in that. But then again, it would take part of one of your days. Folks, you can't do this without scheduling time to do it and just staying consistently at it. We are on Monday. I talked to Brother Reiser about this. We're starting it this week. I said, let's get past VBS, and we reworked our summer schedules, and we're going to continue this not just for the summer, but all through the fall. But on Mondays, we're actually going to stay later on the day on Monday, and we're going to have what I call staff soul winning. We're going to go have a Monday staff soul winning. I can't remember what I told you. 5 to 7 or is it 4 to 6? 4 to 6. And listen, if you're a gentleman and you'd like to come and join us during that time, hey, we're going anyway, 4 to 6 on Mondays. And if you say, Brother Jerry, I don't really know how to do it, but I'd like to be trained to do it, that'd be a good time for you to slot in if it works for your schedule. And so we're going to we're doing this one right here. And I've already marked that, okay? Now, I'm involved in some of these, okay? But I'm also going to, what's the township up there that Blackhawk's in? So me and my family will do this one too, okay? And I show up on a lot of work days. And by the way, you say, well, Brother Jerry, you're a preacher. I know, and all the preacher stuff still has to be done. And Brother Poet's not here, and I'm doing some of that. And what I'm saying is, I'm sacrificing. I'm here a lot of times very, very late, ask my wife. I'm here very, very early, ask my wife. What I'm asking you to do is sacrifice too. I made up my mind, I'm not going to be a preacher. I'm not going to be a Pharisee. Pharisee, they bind burdens heavy to be born, won't lift a finger. I'm not asking you to do anything, and I'm not asking you to do as much as I do. I'm not asking you to do as much as I do. I'm saying you ought to be involved. 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 Ladies, Tuesday mornings, you ought to be involved. If you can be, you ought to be involved. Yes, sir. The Bible says go. It says go. Go, 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 go. It says go. Monday afternoons, you can go. Wednesday, you say, Brother Jerry, Wednesday afternoons. You say, well, that's teen soul winning. Could you use some adults? Would that be a blessing? By the way, it would be a huge blessing. I did that for a lot of years. 12 years I took those teens out. A lot of times with very few adults to help me supervise and very few adults. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of prayer. And let me share this with you so that you parents don't panic. But we do this in a very organized and I think a very safe fashion. We keep 4 teenagers for the most part usually on one street together. They stay within sight of each other. Our kids aren't allowed to go in any home. And young people, you are not to go into any home. I don't care who invites you in. I don't care what the circumstances. You do not go in the homes. And we've tried to be very specific. We want the safe. But you know what? I guess if Paul can go into heathen countries where his life was threatened, maybe our kids can go to Himera. Just risk everything for God, you know. I think that if you read the Great Commission in Matthew, the last phrase is that Jesus promised that, and lo, I'll be with you always. You know, so let's really risk something. No, I'm kind of being facetious, but I think sometimes, man, we're just looking for a reason. It's too dangerous to go in Greene County soul winning. What? You want danger? Talk to some of our missionaries. Get on the phone and talk to some of our missionaries. You want danger? See what they risk every time they go out. And that's what I want to do. And that's what we need to accomplish. Now, folks, listen to me. Our senior saints, it can't fall on them. I'm not excusing our senior saints, but it can't fall on them, especially the ones that are limited, physically limited on what they can accomplish. So it can't just fall on them. We can't set back our bus workers. It can't fall on them. I mean this. You know the ones probably that are going to have the biggest hearts and want to get involved the most are the ones that shouldn't? They're taking half their Saturday, sometimes three-quarters of their Saturday, sometimes half to three-quarters of the only day they've got off, and they're doing something. They're visiting already. They're witnessing. They're hitting extra doors. It shouldn't be the same people that's already doing more. Make sense to you? So all I want you to do is pray about it. All I want you to do is pray about it. I want you to pray sincerely about it. I want you to ask the Lord to speak to your heart about this. Because we cannot falter and fail in this matter of gospel saturation. It's a biblical mandate. Folks, we will stand before God with blood on our hands if we do not do what we're supposed to do. And so let's work tirelessly. I'm not asking you to give every single day off. I'm not asking you to give every moment of spare time. I'm asking you to honestly look at your schedule and say, Lord, isn't in the course of 168 hours in a week, isn't there some place that I can on a regular basis schedule a time to go out and do what you've asked me to do? And I think what you'll hear the Holy Spirit says, I think we can probably figure something out on that. Amen. Heavenly Father, pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. Keep us burdened about this. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd, Lord, just orchestrate this. I don't think anything that's done, Lord, out of guilt will last long. I don't want that to be the case. I don't desire for that to be the case or the motivation. Lord, I pray that it comes from something much deeper than that. Lord, whatever Paul had, I pray that we'd catch it. I pray we'd catch it, Lord. I pray we'd be influenced by it. Help us to get a dose of whatever these New Testament Book of Acts Christians had. And Lord, if we don't, if we get too comfortable, Lord, I'm fearful to pray this. But Lord, send a little persecution our way. Help us to be shaken a little bit. Don't let us get too comfortable. Move us if we have to be moved. Scatter us if we have to be scattered. Do something to wake us up a little bit here, Lord. Ten virgins. 10 young virgins. 5 had oil and 5 didn't. And when the master came, they were all asleep. Oh God, help us not to fall asleep. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.